Quality News Network. In southern Afghanistan, Taliban insurgents attacked police outposts this morning. NATO responded with airstrikes that have killed 20 militants and 25 civilians, including women, children, and a leading regional mullah. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has passed an energy bill requiring a 40% increase in fuel economy standards for new vehicles by the year 2020. The bipartisan agreement also calls for large increases in the production of ethanol and bans energy price gouging. The Associated Press reports the Pentagon is poised to close down Guantanamo Bay prison and move its 380-some suspects to mainland federal prisons. A U.S. team is searching to Iwo Jima for the remains of the Marine combat photographer killed days after shooting the classic photograph of Marines raising the American flag atop Mount Suribachi. The Bush administration is asking a federal court to reject requests from the attorney generals of five states who want major communications firms to describe their roles in illegal domestic spying activities. New Jersey, Vermont, Maine, Missouri, and Connecticut are suing Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint Nextel. The CIA is releasing 700 pages of previously classified data covering some of its more notorious activities 30 years ago. The documents include reports of kidnappings, assassination plots, including one against Fidel Castro, and spying against journalists. West of Denver, firefighters are wrestling with a grass fire that scorched at least 3 homes and 10 acres. Fire crews are trying to keep the blaze from joining a nearby 1,300-acre wildfire. A report just released by the AMA says New Orleans death rates following Hurricane Katrina rose nearly 50%. Doctors say the city lost half of its health workers. In Charleston, South Carolina, thousands of mourners gathered today for a memorial service for 9 firefighters killed Monday in a furniture store inferno. It was the nation's deadliest blaze since 9/11. U.S. Envoy Christopher Hill today announced progress in his surprise visit to North Korea. Pyongyang is said to be signaling its intention to make good on promises of nuclear disarmament. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Business and Science next.
To help offset global warming, each of us can help ease pollution of our environment in a variety of ways. At home, use less energy by turning off lights and switching to fluorescent bulbs. Weather-strip doors and windows. Run the dishwasher only when full. Turn your water heater down to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Recycle household trash. U.S. households produce 21% of the country's global warming pollution, and just these few minor adjustments can make a big difference. On the road, slow down for better gas mileage, drive less, and keep your vehicle tuned up and tires properly inflated. For more information on what you can do to help reverse the effects of global warming, contact the Environmental Defense Fund online at fightglobalwarming.com. This Environmental Minute has been provided in the public service by the Quality News Network.
The Take-Two video company, maker of Grand Theft Auto, has temporarily suspended release of its newest game, Manhunt 2. Called sadistic and vicious, the game has been banned in the UK and appears unable to solve ratings difficulties in the US. A House committee has voted unanimously to give the FDA increased power to scrutinize side effects of new prescription drugs after they've hit the market. Fines would also be increased for false advertising of medicines. A Massachusetts federal judge has ruled that 3 major pharmaceutical companies illegally inflated drug prices to boost profits from Medicare individuals and insurance companies. AstraZeneca, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and Schering Plough vastly boosted prices for many popular drugs, the judge said, including those used in chemotherapy. The EPA wants to reduce smog by as much as 20% despite opposition by business and industry. EPA officials say current standards don't protect Americans' health. Critics say restrictions will be too expensive. Shareholders today okayed the appointment of the first non-Japanese member of Toyota's board. He's Jim Press, the head of the automaker's North American division. Light sweet crude is trading at $68.52 a barrel. Gold at $657.90 an ounce. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
The following is a Cup of Joe refill, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the very best of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio, on the Head On Radio Network. Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, wake the hell up, everybody. It's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock my time, 11 o'clock. Actually, if you're still up at this time of day in the East Coast, on the East Coast, then you're like me. Lazy as hell, don't like to get up in the morning, and that's how it is. How is everybody doing today? And this is the first day of my new time slot, and we went into this for several different reasons, and one of which was it actually helps me out at work. Because that way when I come home from work, I can stay a little later at work if I need to finish up a project or something like that and not rush out right afterwards. And, you know, John Fox wanted to go a little earlier too, because John Fox is on the other side of the world in Australia. He goes at a different time level. So it actually helps out all the way around. And of course, we had to make room for our latest host, Peter Godbold, who started today, and we're forward to his continued presence on the Head On Radio Network, your source for the truth, your source for some of the best liberal talk shows that you're going to find. And we have our other networks that do liberal talk, of course. There's Air America Radio, and there's Nova M Radio, and we are all good friends with them, and they do a wonderful job, but we do what we do. Oh, my apologies. I'm being told by a good friend, Bob Kincaid, that Peter starts this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My bad. I, for some reason, I thought he was coming on in the morning. I don't know. But but you know something? That's even better, because, you know, this way you can call in later on tonight and get to listen to Peter. And he's really, really good. And I've had him on the show here a couple times as a caller, and he's just got a great voice and a great personality and all that. We talked about trying to get some other people too, because we obviously want to have good talent on the air here. So, and I want to get, you know, I'd like to get Billy Shears on, to be perfectly honest. But that's just a question of time and working everything out and what's convenient for everybody. But at any rate, it is Monday, and I had a very interesting weekend. My roommate had been feeling a little depressed, so he went over to a friend of his house, and supposed to have been back on Friday. And Friday came and went, and he still wasn't here. And Saturday came and went, and he still wasn't here. And Sunday came and went, and he still wasn't here. I was at least expecting him back yesterday, because he's got to go to work today. So I don't know what the heck is going on with that, and I'll give him a call at work today to find out what the heck the deal is, whether he's actually coming home or not. If I need to get a new roommate. Maybe he'll say, Joe, I changed my mind, and I decided to live in a real place with a real human being. Thank you very much. And I'll be seeing you. Good luck. I'll be over to pick my stuff up, and it won't take that long, because, well, like me, he don't have a lot of stuff. You know, the other day I was musing about that all the stuff that I have with me, and I have some stuff in storage down in Atlanta, but all the stuff that I have with me can pretty much fit inside my closet. But I have no real furniture. The only real piece of furniture I have is this air mattress, which, you know, can be deflated and folded up. So, yeah, I'm really kind of living off the far end here, economically speaking. But that's no surprise, because I'm on the left. And if I was doing the show and I was a right winger and I was doing right wing propaganda, man, I'd own the whole building here. I'd have $1 million house, and I'd make $20 million a year. And all I would have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is lie and steal and cheat. Isn't that easy? It just sounds so easy, doesn't it? Just lie and steal and cheat, and you can make tons of money at it. I had a bumper sticker made up. I put it on cafepress.com, and I just wrote out, it said, vote Republican because crime pays. And my wife hated that. She said, don't say that. That's wrong. That's just plain wrong. Speaking of my wife, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit because it's something that, you know, it's an issue that I've been dealing with ever since she passed away. And it's the question of, you know, whether or not there is an afterlife and whether I'm going to get to see her again. And I have people tell, oh, you'll see her again, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I'm a skeptic and I'm an agnostic. And I really don't believe in an afterlife, but I'm at a point where I want to believe in an afterlife because I love my wife so much. I definitely want to see her again. And a friend of mine in another chat room, a very nice lady from Alaska, actually, is into the New Age philosophy. And for those of you who aren't familiar with New Age philosophy, I'm slightly familiar with it. I read Shirley MacLaine's book many, many years ago, Out on a Limb, which I thought was a very good book. There are a lot of things that I like about New Age philosophy, but being an agnostic and being a skeptic, I don't necessarily believe anything I'm told. Okay, let me make that very clear right now. And but this person believes in the reincarnation and the idea. For those of you who aren't familiar with New Age philosophy, basically, and I'll keep it as short as possible, it's a reversal of our normal religious philosophy, which states that we are human beings seeking a spiritual existence through God or through whatever savior. You're talking about Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or whatever. Okay, New Age philosophy reverses that. Basically, what they believe is that we are spiritual beings who choose to manifest ourselves in physical form as a learning experience. And and they also believe that there are souls who travel together. And my wife and I considered ourselves soulmates. Those of you who have listened to my show for a long time, in particular, during the times when she would actually come on the air with me when I was doing pre-recorded stuff, you understand, you could sense the love between us. And anybody who saw us together knew exactly what I was talking about. My old friend Phyllis Euster, who is still out in the state of Washington, she understood that, and she saw it every day. And it was really a wonderful relationship. And so at any rate, this lady from Alaska says, listen, there's a medium that comes online to a particular chat room every Sunday evening, and there's someone who channels. Actually, the medium is actually on the other side, so to speak, and there's someone on this side who channels for that person. So they will answer a question if you ask a question. And I had a very simple question, and my friend helped me phrase it in a way. And I said, my name is Joe, and I'm new to this. My wife, Catherine, died 18 months ago from pancreatitis, and I would like to ask if she is part of my guides now and waiting for me. Now, you know, this whole guides thing, I heard some of the questions on this thing, and, you know, am I going through the fifth mudra, or I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I never could figure any of this stuff out. I think it's all, you know, I think it's all BS. However, the answer that was given was notably cryptic, but however, I wouldn't mind it if it were true. You know, and I should remind you that the term fragment that I'm going to use in relationship with this, it has to do with the fact that we're all kind of fragmented souls, I believe, if that's right. And we all have different pieces of us, and some of us choose to, like I said, manifest ourselves in physical form. But anyway, this is the answer that I got from the guy on the other side. So the fragment known to you as the woman Catherine is involved in a teaching exercise that takes up much of her time and energy. She's assisting other fragments with issues that come up between lives as a result of terminal illness. This is part of her processing work as she continues to process the lessons and issues that arose for her while extant, which means in this life. She holds awareness of you, yet the life she lives, since it is not part of the physical plane any longer, is very different than you can imagine. She is not a guide for you yet. Yet there are remaining some energetic ties that likely will continue to slowly dissipate through time. Your guides are well aware of your progress through this process and in full support to you, and provide full support to you. Now, some of that is extremely cryptic, and you know that's how these things all are. But you know, so, excuse me. Certainly, the idea. Hang on, let me get some water. Excuse me. Certainly, the idea of my wife teaching other people about that experience and helping them through that certainly sounds like something she would do anyway. So, Kathy, if you're out there, if there's any way you can hear me and listen to me, I still love you, and I'm still out here. And I hope you're doing well, and I hope we're together again sometime. Let me take a break. I've been rambling on about this for too long. Let me take a little break. The number to call in if you want to call, if you want to talk about that subject or any other numerous subjects, there's a lot of things going on I'm going to talk about. The number to call is 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, or of course you can always call the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. And we will be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why UnreportedNews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. weekdays, here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, number to call in, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, of course, the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. And let's just go right to the phone. Our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
It's Kevin. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I tell you, I wish I had a situation like yours. And, you know, in spite of, you know, your wife physically no longer here, you know, you should consider yourself a very fortunate man to have had a soulmate that you two were so in tune together. You know, and I do envy that because, you know, unfortunately in my situation, even though I don't, it's not that there's no love there, but we're so out of tune on what each other want in life and, you know, what each other's looking for that, you know, again, I'm in a situation where I'm separated.
Right.
And it's just one of those things that, you know, you just got to, you know, look at the years you had and just, you know, take that with you, you know.
Well, you know, thankfully, I had no regrets about anything. I mean, there was nothing that was left unsaid or nothing that was left undone. We both knew she was pretty sick, although she, you know, neither of us really thought she was going to die, to be perfectly honest. We were just kind of figuring that she'd have a couple of things, some stuff taken care of, and that would be it. Thankfully, there was Grady Memorial Hospital, because without Grady Memorial Hospital, she would have died a lot sooner than she did, and maybe there wouldn't have been time to say all those things. I do consider myself very lucky in that regard, and you know, and I hope maybe things still work out for you and your person there.
Yeah, well, I hope so too, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm trying to remain hopeful, but you know, when I look at it, the reality is, and getting back to focus on the show, it was really our politics. You know, our politics really kind of severed us apart, in spite of the love we have. You know, and you know, my, you know, wife believes in that, you know, American dream with the house in the suburbs and that conservative housewife. She bought into it hook, line, and sinker, you know. And it just came to a point where I can no longer live in a state of woeful ignorance, you know.
It can be very difficult. I mean, I look at James Carville and Mary Matalin, and I think, how the hell do these guys stay together? Because not only are these guys political and on opposite ends of the spectrum, they're both heavy activists.
Well, I think it's a hustle. Con.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I truly believe it. You know, it's like my wife believes in the suburban, you know, especially the southern suburban lifestyle, which it came to a point I can no longer take it, you know. And, you know, looking at it front end, it was a great lifestyle, you know. I got to play golf, you know, because in Florida, the American dream does come cheap, you know. But it is at a price, and I couldn't take that woeful ignorance.
Well, for every person that enjoys themselves like that in the suburbs, thousands of people have to live in abject poverty. Millions of people.
Exactly.
If you talk about around the world.
Yeah. And, you know, when I said the word, you know, when I tried having conversations, like the word union in Florida, it just came, what do you mean union? You know, like, again, it was like as if I, you know, put a turd in the punch bowl, you know. It's like, or anything along those lines. And again, these aren't, I would say, the top tier, like let's say the WASP top tier society. These were, you know, professional blacks and Hispanics, and you know, so they're falling into that trap too, and little do they know that a lot of them
we got ours, so screw everybody else, right?
Yeah, well, not even that. They barely have hours because, God forbid, if they miss a paycheck or two, they're gone. They are under the bridge. You know,
and they think it can't happen to them. They think, you know, maybe they can't get laid off or something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of them are doctors, lawyers, and teachers. And, you know, a lot of them are basically living, you know, beyond their means and a paycheck or two away from being under the bridge, literally under the bridge.
It's like that with a lot of people, and you know, people see all the stuff on the TV or in the news and stuff like that. You got to have this, you got to have that, you know. And while certain things are nice to have, you know, people don't save anymore. People don't really seem to be concerned about that. Of course, they grew up in a very different environment from, like, say, my parents did, who grew up during the Depression. You know, and my that generation was very frugal.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, it's, you know, you got to buy. We have a very consumer-driven economy, where if people stopped buying and started saving, a lot of these big companies would suffer and falter.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I don't mind a consumer-driven economy as long as there's certain social safety nets, because, you know, literally, as long as we're consuming with constants, because the more we consume, the more jobs there are for people. you know, to a certain degree, you know, which I buy into, but there has to be certain societal and social safety nets.
Well, you got to pay people enough so that they can afford to buy the products. I mean, even Henry Ford, who was a fascist for crying out loud and who supported the Nazi Party before he went to war with them, you know, even he understood that process, which is why at Ford Motor Companies, he paid his workers a lot more than the average person was making. And even though he was stringently anti-union and hated the whole idea of unions, which to me is kind of stupid, but, you know, whatever, he's got all the money, so I guess it doesn't matter to him. But,
no, but it's
he understood that basic premise.
Yeah, but it's within your interest to have a happy workforce who will be loyal to you.
But they don't see it that way. Their whole ideology is, you know, everything for us and nothing for everybody else.
Yeah.
And as much work and as much effort as we can squeeze out of people for as little money as possible. Hell, they want a slave labor force is what they really want in the long run. That's what they really want.
And that's
the truth of it. I mean, you look at what they're doing with sending jobs overseas and with the... You know, and you know, the suburbanites don't understand that. You know, they live, you know, and the Southerners in particular, who were laughing at the fact that they were taking jobs away from the Northeast because they were offering less regulation and less taxes, lower labor costs. Now, the Southern places are losing companies and losing jobs to places that'll spend even less and have even less regulation and even, you know, an even worse labor market. And you know, and eventually the people in China and Vietnam, there's somebody going to be somebody undercut them. So where does it end? And then the answer is slavery. That's basically it.
Yeah. And you know, and that's what. But you see, people don't think on that level or that far into the future. And it's not only, you know, they got this, but the thing is, a lot of these people have children. What kind of future are you going to have for your children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said on another talk show radio. Another radio talk show, I called in, you know, within the network here, and I said, you know, more and more children, more and more younger people are depending on inheritances for their parents in order for them to retire.
Right.
Or they're even living with their parents, though. 40 years, you know, people in their well into their 30s and 40s.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's the biggest thing that's gone through the roof, the biggest expense has been rent.
Yeah,
I mean, and I've talked about this before. When I was growing up, we were a family of five, and we lived in a fairly small tenement apartment in Brooklyn. And I think we were paying like $80 a month for rent. Now that same place is going to charge maybe $800
a month. Nah, try $2,800. We're in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, so over by Hart Street and Knickerbocker Avenue in Bushwick section.
Oh, around there is probably $1,500 now.
But still, you know, that's a huge amount of money. I mean, and people aren't making that much more than what my dad was making. I mean, my dad was making, I think, about $6.50 an hour back then, $6, $6.50 an hour back then. And that one salary, he could support a family of five. And again, I hate to keep repeating myself because I've said that time and time again, but that's a real big difference. And what was the price of a loaf of bread? Well, like 15 cents a quarter. A dozen eggs was like 15 cents a quarter. A gallon of milk was 15 cents a quarter. A gallon of gas was like 39 cents. But, you know, I'm glad the price of gas is finally going up because it'll force people eventually, the suburbanites in particular, to rethink theirs about, you know, free driving all over the place.
No, they're going to continue driving. Gas is like the opium of our age, you know.
Oh,
like,
our entire economy is built on it, dude. Our entire economy is built on it.
Yeah. The one last thing I want to mention, though, is like when your father was working and getting paid $6.50 an hour, one thing you got to remember, he was getting paid in real money. Back then, there was the gold standard. Okay, now if you multiply what he made per an hour, it's probably equivalent to what somebody makes about $50,000 a year.
More than that, I would think. More than that, when you consider, you know, supporting a family of five, you need at least probably $100,000 a year now to support a family of five.
Okay, so like a lot of people who think they're making $100,000 a month, thinking they're making real money, they're not.
Right.
You know,
well, if I were making $50,000 now with my low overhead, you know, I would be doing just fine because I really, you know, I don't have a lot of expenses. I don't have a family anymore. And what I don't have now is a lot of time, and I have to cut you off because
no problem.
The hour break.
Okay,
Kevin, thanks again for calling in.
Yeah.
Always good to hear from you, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. All right, let's go. Let's take a little bottom of the hour break. And we'll hear some. I think the Wins News is coming up, Workers Independent News. And after that, we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the Horn.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Organized labor's top legislative priority of the year will begin deliberation in the Senate as early as today. The legislation is called the Employee Free Choice Act, and it would require that the National Labor Relations Board certify a union if a majority of workers sign cards authorizing union representation in contract negotiations. The bill passed the House on a mostly party-line vote and is expected to do the same in the Senate. Such a vote would not give Democrats the 60 votes they need to prevent the president from vetoing the bill. The bill also establishes harsher penalties if employers violate workers' rights to seek unionization. Additionally, the bill would make arbitration mandatory if the employer and union do not reach an agreement within 120 days. Studies indicate that employer discrimination and refusal to bargain have a negative impact on organizing and contract negotiations. The result is that unions have a reduced chance of meeting first contract demands. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled last week that collective bargaining is a universal right. The decision was a reversal of a previous ruling on the same issue. The High Court ruled that collective bargaining is protected under Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The justices wrote that the Charter restricts the passing of laws that would interfere in the right to collectively bargain. The ruling could impact every worker from farm workers to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The UAW is joining major automakers in their position on mandatory average fuel mileage standards. Doug Cunningham has details.
The United Auto Workers Union is supporting a bipartisan proposal to increase fuel economy standards. It's an amendment to the energy bill that would boost gas mileage requirements by 31% for passenger cars and 35% for light trucks. The amendment requires a corporate average fuel economy of 36 miles per gallon for cars by the year 2022. Trucks would have to reach 30 miles per gallon by that year. The UAW says this is a responsible approach that would improve the environment while also protecting jobs and benefits for active and retired auto workers. Automakers like GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, BMW, and Volkswagen also support the fuel mileage amendment.
Here is today's economic report. United States productivity growth is lagging behind Europe's, according to a recent report from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. The report adjusts to measure rises in living standards from productivity growth, what the authors call usable productivity. Using this measure, U.S. productivity growth is slightly lower than Europe's.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and I'm back, and we're going to go crazy on you. We're going to go crazy on you. Crazy, I'm telling you. And that's what I am for being a liberal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just crazy. Because, you know, the idea of people making enough money to support themselves, the idea of people having the right to stand up for themselves against greedy corporations, the idea that people have a right to actually want a better life and maybe not spend their entire life working and slaving for a living for not enough pay, that's all crazy. That's all crazy. And we're nuts if we believe that. Because, you know, the big people up on top, they got the money because they done earned it. Some of them earned it the old-fashioned way by inheriting it. Some of them earned it the hard way by stealing it. And if you ain't stealing, you ain't trying. And we have that mindset. And I still remember, and thanks, by the way, for Kevin for calling in and talking about that, because that's still a big issue. We have that mindset. It's that worker ethic that we've got that we are manipulated using that. I mean, I still never forget that one guy I was talking to who was upset that we had so many holidays. And it's an attitude that's just mind-boggling to me. Is that your life? Is that what you want from your life? To sit there and work, to stuff soda cans into a machine for 40 or 50 years until you die? And never have a day to relax and enjoy, I hate to say that term, fruits of your labor. I hate to say it. I got to think of a better term for that. But you know what I'm talking about. To get to enjoy the money you make, for crying out loud. Is that against the law somehow? And all the money doesn't make you happy. I brought this up on Friday with our good friend Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. Look at the three female celebrities that are getting the most attention in the news: Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, and Britney Spears. Look at the problems they've been having: going into drug rehab, drinking while driving. Are they any happier with all the money and fame that they have? I bet you they're damn miserable. Yeah, it's nice to know that, you know, they can go and live in a nice house and have the nice car and all that stuff. But are they really happy? Is anybody really happy? You know, being broke, and there's a difference between being broke and being poor. Bill Cosby pointed that out once some time ago, and I kind of agree with his assessment. When you say poor, it can imply a lack of quality and character, and having no money doesn't necessarily mean a lack of quality and character. But when you're broke all the time, like I am, it brings a new and different perspective to the world. And I've never had any money. I mean, I talked about my roommate earlier, and you know what I feel bad about my roommate, because he's in the same position that I am, pretty much living paycheck to paycheck, and not even that. He actually had jobs where he was making a lot of money, where he was making a six-figure salary. So it's much more difficult for him to be living in abject poverty like this. And Bob Kincaid in the chat room. By the way, you can get on the chat room and go to the headonradionetwork.com and clicking on the chat room link. We make it very easy for you. You can go over there and you get to talk to some of the smartest people on the Internet, and it's totally free. Doesn't cost you a thing. You've already paid for the computer. You've already paid for the Internet service. Just get the hell on there. Get the hell in there. But Bob Kincaid, he's saying that they aren't miserable because of the presence or absence of money. They're miserable because of the absence of brains. That's what that and what we Southerners call raisin. I don't think they're necessarily stupid people. You know, the Paris and the Lindsays and the Britneys, I don't think they're necessarily stupid. They may play stupid, but, you know, in Paris' case in particular, she was born into great wealth. She's the heiress of the Hilton Hotel Company, and maybe she just doesn't know any better. And they used to have a show, her and somebody else called The Simple Life or something, where they would go on a farm, and basically what they were doing was making fun of poor people. And the Texas Betsy is reminding me that it's not abject poverty until you have kids that are going without. That's also very true. And it's just semantics, though. You know what I mean? Just broke, living paycheck to paycheck. And when it was funny. I was mentioning the lady from Alaska who did the medium thing, and we were discussing just about maturity in life and all that stuff. What's the purpose of reincarnating and the learning experience and all that? And she asked me if I was the same person now that I was 10 years ago. And I said, well, really, I sort of kind of am. You know, maybe I know a few things more than I did back then, but basically I'm the same kind of lazy, I don't want to say uncurious, but kind of, immature-ish type of person I was. Basically, I'm a 45-year-old teenager is basically it. But she said, when you raise a kid, that makes a difference. Because it's a lot of responsibility and a lot of sacrifice, and it really, really does change you and make you grow. And that was a very interesting point. But the thing about it is, I'm not going to be raising any kids. I don't think I'm up to it. I don't think I'm ever going to be up to it. And quite frankly, good for the kid, because I think I'm going to remain the way I am, maybe for the rest of my life. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But it's all a growing experience. I mean, I wonder if these girls could give up all of their money and have to live like I have to live, on your wits and on your skills, and not based upon who your family was. If we had that real kind of meritocracy that the libertarians talk about, but which is a lie, I wonder how well they would fare. And I wonder what they would do. And I wonder if their attitude would change. But mostly what I see is not necessarily people without brains, it's people without hope. People who think that it's never going to get any better for them. And people who believe that there's nothing above and beyond what they are right now. That's the sad part for me. That's the sad part, seeing people like that. And me, you know, I can be a spoiled SOB from time to time, and I admit it. And, you know, I can be very selfish from time to time, and I admit it, and I've got no problem admitting it. However, there's a method behind that. There's a method to that kind of madness. Because I do want something better in my life. I don't necessarily want to have all the power and all the control in the world. I think most people are like that. But I certainly want to have a little bit better than what I've got, to live comfortably. To be able to go to a house and it's clean. And to be able to get something out of the refrigerator and to go shopping without having to worry about if I go shopping, will I be able to afford rent? Or do I need to go on food stamps because I'm not making enough money on my job? It's not asking for a lot, really. It's not asking for a lot, but it's very difficult in this world. And according to my friend, she said not all spirits choose to go to physical form because physical form is very, very difficult. And if that's true, and I'm not saying I believe it, and I'm not saying I don't believe it, because, you know, I'm fairly open-minded. That's why I'm an agnostic and not an atheist, right? But it's possible that I took this up and just wasn't ready for it in whatever real form I am. So I don't know. I don't know. It just got me to thinking about all the misery that people live in. And again, I hate to point it out, but I am living a much better life than are about 3 or 4 billion people on this planet. Because as bad as I think things are for me, and as bad as things are for my roommate, could you imagine what life is like in Baghdad right now, or in Bangladesh, or in a lot of places where there really is abject poverty, where people live on next to nothing, and how they survive is I don't even know how they survive. Let's take our last break here a little early. Go ahead, let's run some music there, Bob, and we'll take care of that, and we'll be back with the final break. If anybody wants to give a call for the last shows, 304-658-5453. We'll be back with more of the Cover Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, I love that song. Oh, I love it. Last episode, last segment of the show here, the Cup of Joe Radio Show. How's everybody doing today? Hey, the movie Sicko is coming out here in the next couple of weeks or so. What is it, 29th? June 29th, it's coming out. That's 2 weeks, 11 days from now. And according to an article at thinkprogress.org, the healthcare industry is bracing for the movie to come out. They're worried about, you know, their profit margins, which, of course, is all they care about. Which is, you know, one of the things that's wrong with America today. The only thing anybody cares about is you know, how much money they can grab into their pockets. You know, look, I'm a capitalist. I believe in regulation of capitalism, but I'm a capitalist at heart because I like the things that capitalism does. I think the profit motive is a wonderful thing for you know, improving things. But it's a two-edged sword. When left to itself, the open hand of Adam Smith becomes a closed fist. And there are some things that I truly believe are not for profit, and one of them is our health. And you know, I was in thinking about my wife. I was thinking about all the things that maybe might have been a little better if we had insurance and could have gotten taken care of. But you know, if we had had insurance, it probably would have been a lot worse for us. And the thing about it is, we were fortunate to have had Grady Hospital, because Grady Hospital deals specifically with people who can't afford to pay normally, and there's not a lot of hospitals that are like that. I mean, even as far as free clinics are concerned, Grady is an excellent, excellent hospital, and they treated my wife very, very well. But if we had had insurance, it would have been a different story. And in fact, when we were living up in Alpharetta, which is a suburb north of Atlanta, she had to go to the hospital from time to time because, like I said, she was sick on and off for many years, and she was kind of always sick, really, throughout her whole life. And when she went up there to get something taken care of, they were just real snotty to her because she was on Medicare. You know, oh, you can't afford it. You know, we have to go through this paperwork. There is something definitely wrong with people in this country to treat people like that just because they're sick. There's something definitely wrong with the attitude that if you can't afford health care, then you don't deserve health care. And right-wing propaganda gets on the air every single day and makes you hate poor people for being poor. Was it Paul Krugman's article? Was it Frank Rich's article? I was trying to remember. No, it was back. I think it was from Al Gore's latest book, The Assault on Reason, which I'm reading. He was talking about how Neil Bortz was angry with some lady who was a Katrina victim, who had lost everything, and was upset because of the slow response of, you know, the Bush administration, the people who hate government, who only see government as a tool to siphon taxpayer money into their friends' pockets. Organized crimes, essentially. And he was saying, why does this woman have a job? Maybe she should go into prostitution. Yeah, she could be like Neil Bortz. Because that's what Neil Bortz is, ladies and gentlemen. He's a prostitute. He's a shoe salesman. He's a glorified shoe salesman. And they don't care what they say. They don't. You know, I don't know if they believe if guys like Bortz and Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly. I don't know if any of these guys really believe what they say or not. It doesn't really matter, does it? They're just saying it because they make a lot of money to say it. And that's the truth. And that's the plain truth. They make a lot of money for saying it. As opposed to us at the Head On Network who do this, and again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, we do it because we're compelled to do it. Because we feel it's necessary to let people know that you're being ripped off. And that's what I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Every single day, I want you to imagine that the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, their corporate backers, and the propagandists on Fox News and on the talk radio, the right-wing talk radio stations, I want you to imagine that they're in your house right now with a metaphorical gun to your head, robbing you blind, because that's exactly what they're doing, is robbing you blind. And the only protection you have against that is to stand firm with your fellow brothers and sisters in the workforce with a metaphorical gun right back at them. Because whatever else you can say about people who don't have a lot of money, poor people, broke people, whatever you want to call them, whatever else you can say about them, is that there's a lot more of them. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. A lot more poor people than there are rich people. And you get us pissed off enough, and bad things happen. You don't have to believe me. Just ask Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette. Just ask Nicolae Ceaușescu. Just ask Benito Mussolini. All of whom were brutally murdered. You get to a point where people say enough is enough. And I want us to not get to that point. You know, the difference between me and the right-wingers is that I definitely want a political solution to these problems. They want to kill us all. You know, George W. Bush talks about, you know, all the terrorists in the world, got to get the terrorists, but of course he conveniently ignores our own homegrown terrorists, and we have a lot of them. I was reading, where was it? It was on Hullabaloo, Digby's site. This is from his site. It's from Talk to Action, actually. It was a link from there. On July 29, 1994, Paul Hill, who sought to set a good example for Christian theocratic revolutionaries, assassinated abortion provider Dr. John Britton and James Barrett, one of his escorts, and seriously wounding another outside an abortion clinic in Pensacola, Florida. And this year, George W. Wilson of Children Need Heroes, as if this guy was a hero, and Drew Heiss of Street Preach are planning to honor Paul Hill in a series of events called Paul Hill Days in Milwaukee, July 26th to 29th, to honor him as God's man and our hero. They are having a march for a terrorist that they helped to create. But, you know, you can't say Christian terrorists or Christianist, which is actually my favorite term for that. I don't pretend to know a lot, ladies and gentlemen, unlike right-wing talk show hosts, I should say. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have all the answers. I don't know from religion. I don't know from afterlife for sure. There's certainly things I want to be true. I don't know from Jesus. I don't know from Muhammad. I don't know from Buddha. It's really not my concern. I'm just worried about, you know, what goes on in the here and now, okay? But I can't imagine Jesus or Buddha back in anything like this. Maybe Muhammad, I have no idea. Probably not Muhammad even. I don't think Muhammad. And he's got the, you know, his Islam has got that reputation. But hell, I live among a whole bunch of Muslims here in Devon Avenue, and no one's ever tried to convert me, or there's no suicide bombers here on Devon Avenue. And all the Muslims live right next to a nice Jewish community. And there's never a hint of trouble. A lot of Hasidic Jews walking up and down the street with a lot of hardcore Muslims. It doesn't have to be the way it is. It doesn't have to. It can be so much of a better world if it just weren't for a bunch of selfish SOBs who wanted everything and just don't care. And who don't care who they kill. And they're having parades for killers. And I'm not talking about a soldier who did something during the war. I'm talking about a guy who shot a doctor in cold blood because of disagreement with... And of course, you know, they did it because it was in favor of the culture of life. Because we know what the abortion debate is all about. That life begins at conception and ends at birth. For all these people, give a damn. Where was George Wilson and Drew Heiss? Where were they when the victims of Katrina were dying in New Orleans? Probably having a good laugh at it. That's what they were probably doing, laughing, enjoying. Because that's the only humor these people have. That's the only, you know, they talk about us liberals don't have a sense of humor, but what they mean is we just don't like to laugh at people who are being kicked, metaphorically speaking. Or in some cases, literally. We don't laugh at the Matthew Shepherds of the world when they get killed. We don't think that's funny. We don't think lynching is particularly funny. But they do. And because we don't laugh that way, well, we don't have a sense of humor. They're sad people. They're very, very sad people. And you know, the other adage to life begins at conception and ends at birth is that the exceptions are always for them. Digby's written about that too, about how a lot of these people who will be picketing the abortion clinic one day and then going in there the next day to get their abortion and then going right back out to the picket lines. Because their circumstance is special. But my circumstance isn't, and it's time to wrap up the show. I hate getting off on these tangents. Ah, that's all right. It's important. It's important stuff. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid running the board at the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And if you missed the show today, you can always listen to the archives at the White Rose Society, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Talk America Back on Track is coming up next here on your local Head On Radio Network station network thingies there. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work. Don't dip a mug of dust with the cream of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of scotch, heat up a pan of jam. I'll lick a spoon of sugar. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe. The bomb that would turn people into fairies. And because we don't laugh that way, well, we don't have a sense of humor. They're sad people. They're very, very sad people. And you know, the other adage to life begins at conception and ends at birth is that the exceptions are always for them. Digby's written about that too, about how a lot of these people who will be picketing the abortion clinic one day and then going in there the next day to get their abortion and then going right back out to the picket lines. Because their circumstance is special. But my circumstance isn't, and it's time to wrap up the show. I hate getting off on these tangents. Ah, that's all right. That's important. It's important stuff. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid running the board at the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And if you missed the show today, you can always listen to the archives at the White Rose Society, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Talk America Back on Track is coming up next here on your local Head On Radio Network, station network thingies there. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. troops are engaged in a massive offensive about 65 miles north of Baghdad in Bakuba, where they're meeting fierce resistance from al-Qaeda militants. Brigadier General Mick Bednarik, commander of Operation Arrowhead Ripper, told reporters that, quote, it is house to house, block to block, street to street, sewer to sewer, end quote. In southern Afghanistan, Taliban insurgents attacked police outposts this morning. NATO responded with airstrikes that have killed 20 militants and 25 civilians. The scheduled meeting at the White House today regarding the closure of the Guantanamo Bay detention facility has been canceled. In Lebanon, cleanup has begun in a Palestinian refugee camp near Tripoli after the government announced victory.